Summer is almost over, but it's not too late for a few days of vacation bliss. Moreover, you can prolong the benefit of your R&R by what you do before and after your vacation, according to our guest social psychologist. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, August 19th. We will share some tips for maximizing and extending our vacation happiness this hour. And you can join in 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Amit Kumar, postdoctoral research fellow at the University of Chicago. He completed his PhD in social psychology at Cornell University, where he joins us today. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot for being with us. And we did see you interviewed in a piece in New York Magazine on how to maximize your vacation happiness. We have posted that article on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So I understand that you recently took your own advice and went on vacation to Peru.
That's right. I spent almost 3 weeks there, actually.
Oh, how nice. How nice. So what were some of the things you did to extend your vacation happiness?
Well, the takeaway from a lot of the work that I've done, I think, is that people sort of want to structure their vacations in such a way that, as you said, they maximize and extend the satisfaction they get from them. So they can take advantage of these happiness-inducing activities that they sort of engage in across the course of consumption, and that includes the time periods both before and after the trip. So, for instance, we can talk about a few things. Afterwards, storytelling seems to be an important aspect of sort of boosting the happiness you get from your vacation. And there's also sort of a lot that you can think about in terms of the anticipation of your vacation, how good you might feel before your vacation even starts.
Oh, that's great. Well, maybe we can get you to tell some stories about Peru, but I'll also tell you that right now I am anticipating my summer vacation. I had a vacation scheduled for July, but because of some staffing emergencies here at Wisconsin Public Radio, I postponed it, and now I'm taking it next week. And I am really looking forward to it. I'm going to go to Door County, which is a picturesque, almost a Cape Cod type of a setting in Wisconsin. And I will be on a bike tour. And then after that's over, I'm going to stop and have fun and play with friends and family in Green Bay and Minocqua and other spots in northern Wisconsin. So it's not going to be, every minute isn't going to be planned, but I'm having fun kind of planning an impromptu vacation right now. And that's a whole part of the happiness.
Yeah, exactly. As you're sort of alluding to, you seem to be getting enjoyment from just sort of thinking about the vacation you're going to take, and you haven't even started your trip yet. And I think that's interesting because one thing that I've sort of thought a lot about is how waiting feels. And waiting sometimes sort of feels bad, sometimes it feels good. And in a lot of the work that I've done, when it comes to things like material possessions, so other things you can spend your money on, waiting tends to feel more like impatience or anxiety or frustration. But as you're alluding to, with respect to sort of experiences that you can buy, like the vacation you're going to go on, waiting seems to be this positive state. We sort of look forward to what's to come with great excitement and delight.
Yeah, so sort of that anticipation of it all, and it is delightful. But then I know I'm going to probably take this vacation. It's going to be wonderful, but then I'm going to be back and my nose to the grindstone, and I'm going to forget all about that fun like the day I get back. How come that happens?
Well, it turns out that one reason people sort of derive a lot of satisfaction from their experiences is because they talk about those sorts of purchases after the purchase has been made. So we're not always happy when our vacations come to an end, of course. But at least more than sort of the material possessions we buy, our experiences, like our vacations, our trips to places, they sort of live on in our memories and in the stories we tell. And sort of because this type of consumption provides sort of fodder for social interaction, we get a lot more satisfaction from it than from other types of consumption. So basically, if you're fostering your social relationships, that's more likely to bring you kind of longer-lasting, more enduring happiness.
Yeah, so if I'm talking about the wonderful experiences I had on this bike tour, then I'm not going to be back in the rat race so fast.
Yeah, exactly. And there are a few reasons for that. One is sort of simply that you get to relive this experience. Another is that the conversation that you're having with someone else, that in itself will provide you with some sort of hedonic value. It connects you to another person, and that's sort of one of the most important things we know about in terms of human happiness. Another sort of interesting aspect is in terms of the psychology of it, is that you may even reconstrue some of the experiences you had on your vacation. So the fact that you're going on a bike tour is actually an interesting example. There's a study that was done a while ago, conducted by other researchers, that focused on a bike trip in particular. And there were sort of a bunch of moments during this, I believe it was a 3-week bicycle trip, where, you know, some moments weren't so great at the time. There was a downpour and these cyclists were still traveling through all that rain. When you ask them about it at the time, they would say, isn't it terrible that it's raining? But when they have conversations about these sorts of experiences later on, they tend to say stuff along the lines of, well, maybe it was good that it rained. You sort of reframe these disappointments. You sort of play up the great aspects of your vacation. There's sure to be some of those as well. And that allows you to sort of think about it in a way that brings you even more joy.
Yeah, that's funny, because the note that we just received from the tour organizer was saying, bring some rain gear. If it rains, we will go out, unless it's a severe thunderstorm, we will go out. It's cooler and can be very pleasant biking in the rain. And I kind of laughed. He's really putting a good spin on that one.
Well, it's good to go in with it with the expectation that maybe you can, you know, you're already setting yourself to frame it in a way where it's going to be maybe even more enjoyable in the moment, and certainly more enjoyable after the fact.
Yeah. So what are some specific things to keep in mind during the planning phase of a vacation?
Well, one thing, I'll talk about a few, but one thing that's interesting about your particular example is that it's actually kind of good that your vacation was delayed a little bit, because it gives you a little bit of extra time to sort of think about all the things you might do on your trip. The conversations that you have about your vacation even beforehand actually seem to provide value to people. So, talking about your vacation, what you're going to do, sort of imagining the possibilities of the food that you might eat or the sights that you might see, just kind of daydreaming about those sorts of things actually tends to make people happier, not just about the vacation, but sort of writ large as well. There's sort of a few other things that psychologists spend a lot of time doing is they investigate sort of the mechanisms for why things make people happier. So, for instance, as I alluded to, we tend to talk to others more about purchases. It turns out that experiences like vacations also tend to reflect our sense of identity, and an important aspect of how happy you are in terms of your vacation is how much this vacation sort of reflects your sense of self, of who it is that you are.
Interesting. So I'm excited because it is a bike tour, but it's also, I'm excited because I'll be seeing a play, which I also love. I will be going on a sailboat, which I also love. I will be doing experiences that are new to me or novel to me as well, because I like to do that. So that maximizes the enjoyment.
Yeah, so these sorts of experiences basically, they bring people greater happiness than material purchases, because Because they're more likely to contribute to this sense of self, because they foster their social relationships, because they promote conversation. So amping up the extent to which purchases do all of these things, that's likely to increase the satisfaction they bring. So as you mentioned, trying new things with other people in particular while traveling, that's probably a great idea because it's going to help sort of shape your identity. It's going to prompt social interaction, and it'll probably make for a great story to sort of tell and retell long after the experience has been had.
We are talking with Amit Kumar, postdoctoral research fellow at the University of Chicago. He completed his PhD in social psychology at Cornell University, and he was interviewed for a recent piece in New York Magazine on how to maximize your vacation happiness. And we're talking about how we do that. How do you do that? How do you maximize your vacation happiness, and how do you extend it after the vacation is over? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll check news and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network. Summer vacation season is almost over, but we're wondering if you might have one last getaway plan before school starts and fall settles in. We are talking with our guest about how to maximize and extend our vacation happiness. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I am looking forward to my last vacation of the summer. I will be going on a Door County bike tour this weekend, leaving on Friday. And then after the weekend bike tour, I plan to do some visiting and playing in Green Bay and Minocqua and other spots in the Northwoods. So what are you looking forward to doing on your next vacation? And how do you try to maximize the enjoyment of your vacation? How do you try to extend your vacation afterglow? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest was interviewed for a recent article in New York Magazine, How to Maximize Your Vacation Happiness. He is Amit Kumar, who is a postdoctoral research fellow at the University of Chicago. He joins us from Cornell University this morning, where he completed his PhD in social psychology. Is there a difference, Amit, between enjoying vacations with other people, like I'm going to be doing this coming weekend, or going by yourself? My producer-director, Christy Taylor, is planning a camping trip by herself in Maine at the end of the month.
One thing we know is that sort of one of the reasons people get so much satisfaction from their experiences like vacations is because they're broadly social in nature. So part of the reason that vacations make people happy is sort of when we do things, we tend to do them with other people. So at least most of the scientific research suggests that going on vacations, eating out, checking out a concert or theater performance sort of those sorts of purchases promote social relationships, and that's one thing that's likely to make you happy. So you might be slightly better off on your bike trip with other people, but that's not to say that solitary experiences can't bring people happiness as well. Those might be the ones that people tend to talk about even more. If you weren't with other people, you need to sort of share that experience somehow, and you can do that after the fact. So I think there's still a benefit to that kind of vacation as well.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. And maybe if you're going on a vacation solo, doesn't mean that you're not going to have any social contact whatsoever with other people. But you know, but I can.
Yeah, it might even provide an opportunity to sort of meet new people, which can provide a lot of value, I think.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about when we, do other factors like destination or distance from home or type of activities involved, does that affect the satisfaction that we get from a vacation?
So I haven't done a ton of work on that. A question I get asked a lot is sort of about duration. So most of the work that I've done is sort of focusing on vacations in prospect and in retrospect, so sort of looking forward and looking backward. But in terms of the vacation itself, what you're doing on the vacation, you know, how long should a good vacation last? According to sort of now classic work done by a Nobel Prize winning psychologist, actually, Danny Kahneman, on what's called the peak end rule, turns out the answer is that the length of your vacation doesn't much matter. So when people sort of make these retrospective evaluations of an event, that event tends to be remembered more in terms of the peak moment of that event and the end of that event than in terms of its duration. So with respect to vacations, what this means is that might not matter how long the trip actually lasts, as long as you're sort of effectively managing certain peak moments during your vacation and what the end is like. So you want to work in these really great moments, and you kind of want to go out with a bang. That's one way to sort of increase the likelihood that your memory of the trip will be sort of a good one.
Yeah. And but how about the experiences that we buy on the vacation? I mean, that I guess as long as it's something that reflects us, then that makes us happy.
That's probably more likely to make you happy. So in most of the work that I've done, I found that people basically derive more satisfaction from buying experiences. So this could be, in addition to the trips they've taken, events they attend, meals they've eaten, basically money that you're spending on doing, money that you're spending on having. So if you're buying things like clothing and jewelry and gadgets on your trip, that sort of those sorts of purchases are less likely to make you happy. So it's sort of good to it's a good idea if you want to sort of be happier to spend the money on your trip on activities rather than on you know, souvenirs. But if those souvenirs do kind of provide you with the fodder for conversations afterwards, they allow you to sort of think about the memories that you made, that could be helpful as well.
Yeah, I was going to say that I do have a habit of getting a pair of sunglasses wherever I go, and it only usually they're the really super cheap ones, like $5, and then I have all these sunglasses that if I lose, I lose, but I know where each one of them came from, you know, and it's kind of fun to think about, oh yeah, I was in Belize when I got these, kind of a thing. What about the extending vacation happiness beyond the vacation itself? What role do photographs play?
That's a great question. It's a little surprising that this hasn't been studied more than it has. There's sort of research I know being conducted right now, and it's actually a bit complicated. So my studies sort of focus solely on talking about experiences, so sort of verbally reminiscing about them with others, and doing that tends to boost the happiness that you get from those experiences. But there's a team of researchers at the University of Pennsylvania, actually, that have been examining sort of the effect of taking pictures more specifically, and their preliminary findings at least suggest that picture taking is positively associated with enjoyment only to the extent that the pictures allow for recall. So it's actually negatively associated with enjoyment when people take too many pictures. So what ends up being important is kind of why you're taking the picture. So if you take a lot, you tend to focus on getting the right picture, and other sort of self-presentational or image kind of concerns. And this often detracts from enjoying the experience itself. So it's a good idea to take a few pictures, certainly if it helps you recall your experiences after they've long since passed. But you might not necessarily be on the right track in terms of the satisfaction you're getting if you're taking lots and lots of them.
Yeah. So what other things or behaviors can help extend our post-vacation glow?
So basically, the things that allow you to talk to other people, so that allow you to, you know, vacations are often thought of as fleeting. You know, they only last a few days or a few weeks if you're lucky. So how do you get them to live on? They live on in your memories. They live on in your conversations. And you kind of tend to like your conversations better when they're about experiences that you've had. So you're actually getting value from the conversation itself. So it's not even necessarily from the vacation, from the vacation specifically, but The fact that the vacation gives you fodder for conversation, that conversation itself is likely to bring you happiness.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I did go on a, it was a vacation, but it was also work related. So I was the host of a Wisconsin Public Radio trip, and we went to Alaska in June. And so it was a wonderful experience. We took a cruise among among all the glaciers and did hiking and kayaking and all sorts of fun things. And a lot of listeners, Wisconsin Public Radio listeners, were along on this trip. And when we got back, one of the listeners created a Facebook page, and we started sharing our photographs and sharing little tidbits and stories. We also shared, somebody shared an article, which was, heck, it could have been similar to the one that we're that we saw you interviewed in, and it was about how to, how to talk about your vacation once you got back and how to extend that vacation happiness. And so that, how about, what about that idea? Just kind of sharing it with the group in a Facebook page where you can continue to talk with each other.
Yeah, I mean, if psychology's taught us one thing in the past few decades, it's that humans are social creatures. So vacations are a fundamentally social activity. They help connect us to other people, and that's something that is really important in terms of how happy we are. So anything that you're doing to sort of enhance your connections with others, that's going to be a great idea. I think another thing that gets talked a lot about with respect to vacations, especially on social media, I think so, the research on social media is a little mixed. The sort of stuff that you're talking about, I think that is likely to make you happy. Another thing that people bring up is when people are kind of, yeah, exactly. Are people kind of bragging about their vacations? Do you, what happens when you make comparisons to what other people are doing? We know that social comparison is sort of an important facet of happiness. So you want to sort of try to minimize potentially deflating comparisons to which you might be exposed. So, you know, you're peeved when you find out that somebody else has a nicer TV than you or a fancier wardrobe. It's annoying to find out that someone who has the same gadget you do paid less for it. But these sorts of destructive comparisons actually tend to be less likely for purchases like trips to places. So even if you find out that somebody might have had a slightly better vacation than you yourself had, it's not like you would want to trade your trip for theirs. So, you know, your time in Alaska, that's kind of uniquely yours. You wouldn't want a different trip if you heard about a better one. You want your trip to the glaciers with all of its sort of unique idiosyncrasies, not somebody else's. Yeah. So kind of evaluate your vacation on its own terms rather than relative to the vacations other people have taken.
Yeah, I can imagine too that this was a group of only people who were on the trip were a part of this sharing of all these pictures and everything. But I did share pictures, throughout the trip, and I guess it's hard. You're not necessarily. Well, maybe you are kind of bragging, but it's sort of like, look at this wonderful glacier, and I'm here, and I love it, and I can't believe it. I'm not necessarily trying to make someone else jealous or feel bad. But I get it. But you're saying that with vacations, it's not so much. That's not making other people jealous necessarily to see that.
Yeah, not as much. So you kind of have to think about it in comparison to the other things that you could be talking about. You know, if you posted pictures of all of the new stuff that you bought, that's going to bother people a little bit more than pictures of the vacations that you've taken.
Yeah. Well, I'll say my apologies to listeners and friends. I'm going to be posting a lot of pictures of the Door County Bike Tour coming up. Well, not a lot, but some. And it's going to be fun. I'm Joy Cardine, and we are talking about how to maximize and how to extend our vacation happiness, talking with Amit Kumar, who has done research along these lines. He is a social psychologist, and we wonder if you have any questions or if you have have any experiences you'd like to share? Do you want to extend your vacation happiness and tell us about your last vacation? How do you try to keep those memories with you? How do you try to plan vacations to get the most out of them? Let us know. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. What is the best part of a vacation to you? The anticipation before your time away or right after you get back? Have you found ways to extend the happiness of your vacation beyond your return home? Betsy on Facebook says, my husband and I are headed to South Dakota over the Labor Day weekend for our one-year anniversary. Well, happy anniversary, Betsy. We always try to plan each day to the fullest potential, lots of activities. We also love to share the stories with family and friends. We are going to be doing a shadow box with any souvenirs that we do purchase. All right. Well, just maybe a reaction to planning each day to its fullest potential with lots of activities. Any thoughts on that?
So there's research that suggests you actually don't want to do that in terms of filling up sort of every minute of your waking hours. You kind of want to build in a little bit of time to relax. So you don't want to be kind of stressed out trying to get from one place to the next. But you do want to do some planning. So I think it's kind of a delicate balance. Part of the enjoyment that people are getting beforehand is kind of in imagination. So if you know exactly what you're going to get yourself into, that's probably not as likely to be enjoyable as if you leave some things open, leave a little room for sort of different possibilities, and you definitely want to build in a little bit of downtime, just so you're not sort of running around too much and not getting sort of the rejuvenation that you're hoping for from your vacation.
But I know, Betsy, I'm the same way. I'll share a story after news on that. But what about the the shadow box where you can display, I guess, any souvenirs you might purchase so they're not just tossed in a drawer?
I think, that hasn't really been rigorously studied empirically. But my guess is if it's just on display, then you're treating it a little bit, the souvenirs sort of more like things. The more extent that you treat them like things, the less likely you are to get satisfaction from them. On the other hand, if it's sort of a conversation starter, if it's allowing you, you're making this shadow box and then that's leading to conversations, that's leading to sort of social interaction, that interaction is going to make you feel good. So you want to make sure you're involving other people and however you're sort of remembering and looking back on your vacation.
Yeah. So did you go to Machu Picchu in Peru?
I did go to Machu Picchu. I actually traveled quite a bit around the country. So Machu Picchu was beautiful. I went on a bike tour myself down a place called Colca Canyon, which was incredibly beautiful. It's a cool country because, there's mountains, but there's also jungles, sort of the Amazon rainforest. So it's really different all over, and it was a fun trip for sure.
Yeah, that was one that I was going to go on this summer and did not because of the Alaska trip, but it's on my list. What about that? Do you have a list of places you want to go?
I sort of have one in the back of my mind, and part of that is amping up this anticipatory satisfaction, so kind of looking forward to a few future vacations.
We are talking about vacations and how to maximize and extend our vacation happiness. What about you? What are you? Are you planning a end of the summer vacation? Or what is your next vacation that you are anticipating? How do you try to maximize your vacation happiness? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Amit Kumar, who has researched this issue. He has a PhD in social psychology at from Cornell University. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about vacations and how we can keep our vacation afterglow going, how we can extend our vacation happiness, and how we can maximize our vacation happiness. Talking about the science of vacations to some extent, and welcoming your questions for our guest, welcoming your own experiences. How have you tried to keep your vacation bliss going? How do you approach your vacations? Do you plan a lot? Do you anticipate the fun a lot? Let us know. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Amit Kumar, postdoctoral research fellow at the University of Chicago. He completed his PhD in social psychology at Cornell University, and that is where he is joining us today. He was also interviewed for a recent article in New York Magazine on how to maximize our vacation happiness. Let's go back to the phones. Charlene in Green Bay is with us. Hello, Charlene.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
How are you today?
Good. I understand you're on vacation right now.
Yeah. I've been traveling the country to about my 4 months in, and I'm 20 states so far, but I have 10 more to go. But I love to travel, and I've been traveling for the last, 6 years on and off. And I just feel like the people that I've met forget to travel in their own backyard. That's how you can continue your own traveling bug. Just keep it going wherever you are. And there's a lot of times people are very close to other cities, maybe an hour or two away, and they never even go there. And there's so many historical sites in every little town I've been to in America. It's amazing what people miss.
Interesting. So what are you checking out in Green Bay, Charlene?
Oh, I just went from actually hell to paradise in Michigan, the cities, and I have to kind of hurry on through Green Bay, actually, but I'm going to Sioux City. That's my next plan. So.
And where are you from originally, or where's your
I'm from home? California.
Okay. Wow,
yeah.
That's really something. So, and you just want to see the sights in all of these states this summer?
Yeah, I'm kind of working on writing a blog about Dante's Inferno, and I thought I could see America, which is something I've always wanted to do as an adult, and explore the people and the different regions, go to New Orleans, that was a big deal to me, and I don't know, and I went to the Atlantic for the first time, and just to see this country and the people and all the beauty that's here. It's been amazing.
What an amazing adventure you're on. Enjoy it. And when you said you were from hell to paradise, you specifically went to from those two communities in Michigan just because of their names?
Yeah. Amanda told me about it when I was in Vegas, and he said he did a motorcycle trip up through from hell to paradise, and I was like, oh my God, those are real places. That's awesome. And he's like, yeah, it's a beautiful drive, and they're cute little towns, and so I was like, all right, I'm going to do it. So I kind of logged it in my brain, and as I got over to closer to Michigan, things kept falling into place, and I was like, I'm so close, I got to do it. So,
and
yeah.
So you are on a 4-month vacation right now.
Yeah, basically. It'll be about 5 months. It's ending with Burning Man in the Nevada desert. So.
All right. Well, safe travels and fun travels, Charlene. Thank you for sharing that. So how jealous are you about that, Amit?
Well, I'm glad Charlene's enjoying herself, so I'm not that bothered or jealous. And it sounds like she's going to have a lot of good stories to tell after she's through with her trip.
Well, that's really something. Is a 4-month vacation like 8 times better than a 2-week vacation, Amit?
As I mentioned, duration doesn't seem to matter very much, so I don't think there's a huge difference in terms of the length, but it's not like a longer vacation is going to make you feel bad in any way. But a shorter vacation is just as likely to bring you enjoyment, as long as you're sort of going out on a good note and you're working in some good peak moments in there.
You know, we did get a call during the news from someone who was saying, hey, I don't have a lot of money. I can't be, you know, traveling all over the world. And he was a little bit upset, you know, thinking that, you know, he's not very happy because he can't do these trips. And what about, can we have a, can we maximize vacation happiness on a budget?
Yeah, definitely. So one thing that's interesting, as I've sort of been alluding to throughout the past hour or so, we've sort of done a lot of work comparing not just vacations, but experiential purchases in general. So trips you take, events you go to, meals you eat, compared to material purchases like clothing, jewelry, furniture, gadgets, things like that. And the difference is sort of that people get more value from consuming experiences. And when it comes to the amount of money you spend, there's an important and interesting difference there as well, where how much money you spend is very related to how much satisfaction you get from the things you buy, but it's less related to how much satisfaction you get from your experiences. Not to say that it's not related at all. You sort of do get more satisfaction when you're spending a little bit more money. But of course, we can think about the instances where the hole-in-the-wall restaurant, that tastes, the food is even more exciting than the Michelin star restaurant you went to. You can think about sort of checking out, a local band that nobody has heard of versus going to, a big arena show. Both of those things are likely to bring you happiness, and it's not entirely related to how much money you spent on the experience.
Yeah. Charlene was talking about how many of us probably don't even enjoy our own hometown or, our own backyards. And maybe we should treat our own hometowns like we're on vacation there. Can we do that?
Yeah, I think so. So I'm, as you mentioned, I'm in Ithaca, New York right now. There's a bunch of great state parks around here, and I'm driving to Chicago in a few days, and I'm gonna stop at a bunch of state parks as well. So I think there's sort of a lot of stuff right in your own backyard, as she was saying, that you can enjoy. And one thing that's really interesting about that is you're especially likely to talk to people sort of in your own community about those sorts of things. And another distinction between sort of experiences and possessions is when you find out that somebody, if somebody's wearing the same shirt that you're wearing today, that's sort of a funny coincidence and you might laugh about it. But if somebody's done the same thing that you've done, if they've traveled to the same place that you have, if they've gone to the same park as you have, that sort of provides a meaningful connection to another person. And when you're connected to somebody else, you're likely to be a lot happier than when you don't feel connected to people.
Let's go to Vince in Huntsville, Alabama. Well, are you from Huntsville, or are you calling us from there, Vince?
Yeah, greeting from Huntsville, Alabama. Okay. I went to Ripon College many years ago.
Okay.
I'm glad I can listen to WPR on the web.
Wonderful. My husband went to Ripon, too. So welcome back to Wisconsin via the radio.
Yeah. I'm glad you have a good guest, and I appreciate his comments.
Do you know our guest by any chance, Vince?
No, okay. I haven't.
Wonderful.
But I'm glad to hear his thoughts. Well, a couple of things. One thing about travel is that I think this is... Travel makes you discover yourself, or myself, the way I have to choose where to go, what to see, and how to spend money. It's a test of what I like, It forces me to find out what is my interest, so it helps to read a little about a place before I go, so that's part of what I do. Mm-hmm. The other thing is I try to divide a day into three parts. There's an a.m., morning before noon. There's a p.m., 12 to 5, and there's a p.p.m., after 5, evening time. Yeah. We often miss that. We spend all our time in the morning, afternoon, and by after 5, we're all kind of out of energy.
Yeah, I guess that's, you're right, Vince. I can't do too much after 5 just because of my body clock, but we try. That's great. I love that travel makes us discover ourselves, Amit, in a way that he's right?
Yeah, as we were talking about earlier, I think the identity aspect is a pretty important part of why people derive so much satisfaction from their vacations. In sort of a very real way, we're just kind of the sum total of our experiences. Who are we? We are what we've done. And so our vacations allow us both to discover that and to reinforce that. If you're a cyclist, you become more fully a cyclist when you go on your bicycle trip.
Let's go to Steve next in Montreal. Hello, Steve.
Good morning, Joy.
Morning.
If you're going to travel, to me, my thing I did on vacations was go to the end of the road. My first one was go to up the tip of the Keweenaw to the end of US 41 and right around the cul-de-sac there. Now, I live on just off of US 51. Go to the end of that up in Hurley. For a giggle, go into Maine, where US 1 and US 2 start. Both those roads coming up here through our beautiful North Country.
I love that, Steve. I really do. I'm going to be going to Maine, by the way, and I'm going to check that out. And I'm going to, that's on my list, and I'm going to be at just about at the end of Highway 51 on this upcoming vacation. So maybe I will go all the way to Hurley and see what the end of the road is like there. I'm going to be looking in the area of Boulder Junction for the white deer, the white albino deer of the Northwoods. So maybe I'll see you there. So how about that? That's kind of fun. Travel to the end of the road, Amit.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. It's not something I've thought about myself, but I may start thinking about it now. I think it's related to the anticipation aspect. You know, like, what's it like over there? Let me think about it, then let me find out.
Yeah, so do you have a next vacation planned? Are you already anticipating it?
The next place I'm most excited about during this drive to Chicago is a place called Letchworth State Park. It's called the Grand Canyon of the East, so I'll be checking that out soon.
Sounds great. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Amit Kumar is a postdoctoral research fellow at the University of Chicago. He completed his PhD in social psychology at Cornell University, talking with us about a subject he was interviewed for in a recent piece in New York Magazine on how to maximize and extend your vacation happiness. Thanks to Marika Suval for producing this program. Thanks to Christy Taylor for on-air direction and to Elizabeth Delaquest for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.